You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is Kimar Roach, and I listen to the Caribbean Cricket Podcast.
Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Caribbean Cricket Podcast. I'm one half of the Caribbean Cricket Podcast, Mashal St. Patrick Hewitt, and thanks as ever for joining me, joining us for a conversation, a deliberation, a procrastination, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I wanted to do a quick video. Seriously, this is going to be a quick one, but I wanted to do a quick video. Looking at the recent news in West Indies cricket, that depending on where you live and depending on what type of West Indies fan you are, you possibly miss this. It happened about literally, I'm looking at my calendar. It happened literally a week ago. Yeah, just over a week ago. And the only reason we didn't do a video on it, or I didn't do a video on it up until now, just a lot's been happening. We've had the West Indies under-19s playing in the World Cup. We've had the historic win at the Gabba in the Test match. We're currently in the middle of an ODI series, men's senior ODI series against Australia. There's a T20 series due to start just after that. The Red Bull Domestic Championship starts on Wednesday. So there's a lot going on. So the news that came out last week, the Cricket West Indies and WIPA, the West Indies Player Association, had signed a new historic memorandum of understanding, or what is commonly referred to as an MOU, kind of went under the radar. Yes, I know Sportsmats did bits and pieces on it, and maybe there was a few articles in some publications across the Caribbean, but it didn't get, for me personally, it didn't get the level of attention it probably deserved on a global scale. And the reason why I say that is, outside of the region itself, outside of the Caribbean, it's so hard for world cricket to understand the kind of landscape of cricket culture in the Caribbean, which is why you hear so many kind of lazy statements about, oh, why don't Cricket West Indies just do this? Why don't they just do that? Why don't they find this? Why don't they find that? Why is it so difficult for them to? And because people, hence why the Caribbean Cricket Podcast was created, you could argue, because people don't dive deep and they don't properly look at the landscape within our region, it leads to kind of lazy articles, lazy hot takes, and people wanting to make kind of massive glib statements about West Indies cricket that actually aren't applicable, because people aren't studying what's actually going on in West Indies cricket. And when Santoki and I created the Caribbean Cricket Podcast, it was with that intention to bridge the gap, not necessarily within the Caribbean, although I think we play a significant role there as well, obviously, but more so for the diaspora outside of, obviously, outside of the region itself and the wider global cricket media to understand what really goes on in West Indies cricket. So anyways, let me just read the kind of first few lines of the press release that came out to kind of bring people up to speed here. Right. In a groundbreaking development, Cricket West Indies and the West Indies Players Association, otherwise known as WIPA, today signed a new four-year memorandum of understanding, solidifying their commitment to promote gender pay equity within West Indies cricket. The MOU outlines plans to achieve parity in international and regional match fees, international captains' allowances, international team prize money, and regional individual prize money for all West Indies cricketers by the 1st of October 2027. I'll continue. This strategic initiative is a testament to Cricket West Indies' dedication, obviously it's their press release, to creating a more equitable playing field and fostering an environment where talent is valued irrespective of gender. The MOU also aligns the performance grading criteria for international women's and regional men's contracts with the established standards for international men, ensuring a uniform evaluation process across domestic and international cricket from the 1st of October 2024. And there's a lot more which I'll get into, but that last part was essential. When you dive deep into what the MOU has agreed thus far, I love that line about ensuring uniformity across all aspects of West Indies cricket. International standards should be the same as domestic standards, both in men's and women's cricket. International fees and domestic fees are up in line with professionalizing the game and incentivizing high performance within the domestic and international game. But there were essentially like eight key points that came out of the MOU. And I'm going to read those 8 points to you now. So this memorandum of understanding lasts from the 1st of October 2023 to the 30th of September 2027. The 1st of October is in line with when the new contracts are released for international players as well. So these were the eight major statements or eight major things they agreed. Significantly increased team prize money throughout the system and new individual player awards. Now, we saw the first of that in the Super 50 last year, where Cricket West Indies announced that the winning team in Super 50, I think it was Super 50, would win, was it $250,000? Although that might be the Red Bull Championship. I get my figures mixed up sometimes. But they had significantly increased the fee for the winning team in Super 50. They'd increased match fees as well. And similarly, they're going to do the same in Red Bull cricket and other formats of cricket across the region. So that was agreement number one. Two, full match fees for players in the starting 11 and 80% for reserves, effective the 1st of October, 2024. All retainers on hold, I think that means, I think that refers to central contracts or franchise contracts, once an NLC is issued for an overseas domestic franchise tournament, effective 1st of October, 2024. If there's anything I say, people, that you don't understand, get in the comments below and I'll write the explanation for it. Four, the potential for Cricket West Indies and franchises to award multi-year retainer contracts up to 3 years. And let me pause there because that's significant. Obviously, we've seen a lot in the news about England and Australia in particular as a way to kind of safeguard themselves against the exodus from international cricket to the multitude of T20 leagues. Because, of course, the cricket landscape is ever changing on what feels like an hour by hour basis, never mind a month by month basis, right? So we've seen lots about England now offering 2 year contracts, 3 year contracts, similarly in Australia and so on and so forth. So within this memorandum of understanding, Cricket West Indies and Weipa have agreed that contracts can now be multi-year retainer contracts. Now, apparently that was effective. Let me just see if they mentioned it. That was effective from actually 1st of October, 2023. But when they did the press conference, Johnny Graves said that the selectors had not suggested anyone for a multi-year contract at this stage. Now, the question mark a lot of people should have or will have is, how can Cricket West Indies possibly afford a multi-year contract? And how much money would a multi-year contract actually look like in Cricket West Indies, for Cricket West Indies, sorry? And would any player feasibly agree to a multi-year contract? Now, of course, if they sign one, it offers them immediate financial security. Johnny, who may or may not watch this episode, I'm sure somebody will send this to Johnny to have a look, will undoubtedly get in touch with me and clarify what I'm about to say. But I think a top-tier West Indies central contract, if I'm not mistaken, is about $300,000. I want to say it's about $300,000 US, right? So a multi-year contract, let's just argument's sake, Jaden Seal signed a three-year multi-year contract. He would be the type of player, if we give them out, he would be the type of player you would give a multi-year contract to. Is 900K for 3 years worth Jaden Seal's while to sign one? I don't know, but those are questions that people are going to have to consider going forward. Obviously, when an England player signs a multi-year contract, a top-tier England player, that's like 3 million over 2 years, or at least what? At the bare minimum for a top-tier player, you're looking at 2 million over 2 years, right? Let's say a top-tier, not a Joe Root, but a top-tier player underneath him is on, what, 1 million a year maybe? 2 million over 2 years. It makes sense to sign something like that. That's great financial security. Would a West Indian player see 600K over 2 years? I'm just taking a figure there from a domestic, from an international retainer contract. Would they see that as real financial security? I'm not convinced, but that's not me criticizing the agreement between Cricket West Indies and Weeper, because I think it is a sensible idea to introduce multi-year contracts as a way to, one, keep West Indian players in the system, and two, as a way to offer security and let players know that we believe in you. You don't have to run away from West Indies cricket. We're willing to invest in you. We're willing to believe in you. Here's a 2-3 year contract. Obviously, they don't have to sign it. Point four, increased international and regional match fees and ICC tournament fees for all women's cricketers, and to achieve parity with them and men by the 1st of October 2027. Fantastic initiative, obviously. I think Kishore Shallow, when we met him last year, and if you still haven't watched that episode we did with him, go back in our archives and watch it. When we met Kishore in June last year, one of the things he said in that interview with us, he stressed that there was a need to bring women's standards up to the requisite international standards that other women in other nations experience in cricket. And along with the idea of increasing their fees and remunerating them properly, Johnny Graves said in the recent interview that by the end of this year, they wanted to make sure that at least 6 regional contracts were handed out that were professional contracts for women. Now, some of you will listen to that and go, 6? Only 6? But you've got to start somewhere, okay? You've got to start somewhere. There isn't like unlimited finances for Cricket West Indies. And I think that's bold of them to say, right, by the end of this year, we want to ensure that for initially 6 cricketers or 6 regional contracts, that professionalizes the game for those 6. And the idea being that by 2027, they should have extended the cadre of professional women's cricketers within the region. So they're working to a plan. I'm sure some of you will listen to that and cuss, but at least they're working to professionalise in the game at the women's level, which is one of the drawbacks for them. Anyways, point number 6, increases for international and regional men's match fees. That's already started. You only had to see Super 50 last year to see the press releases that came out about match fees being increased. I don't know where I stand on... Again, I'm all for players being remunerated, and some will say that giving players more money incentivizes high performance. I'm not sure I buy that. It incentivizes security in playing cricket, but when the Professional Cricket League was created, I think what Richard Pybus and Dave Cameron's brainchild, they professionalized the game in the region, right? They expanded. The whole point of that whole thing back in 2014, 2015 was all about asking some of the senior international men's players to take a cut so that more money could be used to expand the contracts for professionalization within the region. My argument would be this: since 2014, so it's been 10 years of the Professional Cricket League in the Caribbean. How many good players has it produced? So it's a question a lot of people don't want to ask. It's an uncomfortable question. We've had 10 years of Richard Pybus's Professional Cricket League. We've had 10 years of players being professionals within the region, paid and given domestic franchise regional contracts to be a professional, right? 10 years of it. How many top tier international players has it produced? You could argue, the thing is, even if you wanted to argue things like Jaden Seals or Alzari Joseph, them man came straight out of under 19 cricket, straight into the West Indies senior side. They almost bypassed Professional Cricket League. How many batters has it produced that average over 40 in international cricket? None. How many is it produced at average over 35 in international cricket? Well, what, Bonner? And then he got dropped. So, again, this isn't me cussing out Cricket West Indies. It's just me. This shows how balanced I am. I'm all for giving players more money on a domestic regional level, but I don't know if that really incentivizes high performance within the region. I would stop there in terms of drawing an immediate parallel between money and high performance, because I'm not convinced that there is a connection there within West Indies cricket anyway.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Anyways, 7, align international women's contracts and regional men's contracts with the performance grading that has been established for the international men. 100%. Totally and utterly agree with that. So what they are using to decide for the senior men's side as to whether you have met your key performance indicators, they have agreed within this memorandum of understanding that should also, those same gradings should also be applied for international women and should also be applied for the regional men's contracts that they get with their domestic franchises as well. Again, looks good on paper. Let's see how it all works out in practice. Now, those were the main things that they agreed. And what I would say is that, in fact, there was one other provision of a hospitality box and ground transportation for players' families at all international home series matches. Some people listening to that will be like, huh? What? That wasn't already a given. It's West Indies cricket. Listen, no rules out here. But what I would say is this. Even if you're the most cynical of people and you're like, nah, I don't care that they've signed this, the broken promises and da da da. What I would say is this. Since Kishore Shallow came into the hot seat as Cricket West Indies president, and Santokhi and I have said this, and it's not just because we've met him. I genuinely believe this. He has been on a results-orientated mission to deliver on strategic overhaul of how cricket operates within the region. Obviously, Miles Bascombe is the new director of cricket. Johnny Grave continues as CEO. But if you follow and go, if you don't know, go back and watch all of our videos where we took, this is why you need to watch the Caribbean Cricket Podcast and any episode we do, because we've been talking about this since June last year. Kishore, to his credit, has looked at, has carried out and insisted on a root and branch review and subsequent overhaul of practices within Cricket West Indies and practices within how we operate cricket within the region. And will it bring immediate rewards? No. And so for some people, reward means tying on-field performance with off-field maneuvers. I think as long as you're willing to look long-term, even the most subjective of cricket analysts and cricket fans within the region would have to admit that Kishore is trying to change things for the better. Doesn't mean it'll work, but at least he's trying to improve things. I dare you to listen to those 8 things that Weeper and Cricket West Indies have agreed and say that the intention isn't in the right place to try and improve things on and off the pitch with regards to, I want to say, professionalizing them and improving standards within the region. Some of you will get in the comments and say, what about things like the pitches? They're working on that as well, to be fair, but that's not included within a memorandum of understanding. Again, if you follow us on our Twitter handle, you'll see that I posted some stuff about Arnas Fell having its pitch at Arnas Fell being ripped out, and they're now overhauling the pitch at Arnesfield as an example. Obviously, there's a World Cup coming up. I'm fairly certain that plays a key role in why things like this are happening. Now, what I would just say, and the last thing that was kind of said in the press release is this, Cricket West Indies and Weeper have also committed to work effortlessly on reviewing and updating the following player-related policies. So they are working still on improving the Cricket West Indies fitness and conditioning policy. Think Rakeem Cornwall, people. The Cricket West Indies science and medicine policy. I need to do some research on that because I'm not fully certain what that revolves around in terms of the players. The Cricket West Indies selection policy, which we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. We did a video on that because Cricket West Indies announced that they are again reviewing with an intention to overhaul how selection happens within the region. And finally, the Cricket West Indies NOC policy, the objection certificate, non-objection certificate policy. It'll be very, very interesting to see what comes out of that because, of course, West Indies are one of the international sides most afflicted by players running off to play down bad T20 leagues. And obviously, more often than not, Cricket West Indies issues those knocks so the players can go and play. But to what benefit does it bring West Indies cricket? Leave a question mark there. Now, there was a press conference carried out a few days ago with Miles Bascom, Dr. Kishore Shallow and Johnny Grave. And there was just a few things that came out of it that I thought were really worth pointing out, again, to people who are fans of Caribbean Cricket Podcast or maybe fans of West Indies cricket and you don't follow or know where the news really comes from if we're not reporting it. So Johnny Grave effectively said that in 2023, so for those who don't know, by 2020 in that COVID pandemic, West Indies, in fact, 2019, West Indies were in debt, or Cricket West Indies were in debt to the tune of it's somewhere between $20 to $28 million they were in debt. When David Cameron left, he left the organization in debt to the tune of $20 to $28 million. That deficit has now been wiped. By the end of last year, Cricket West Indies was now operating with a surplus of $10 million, right? They are projected at the end of 2024 to have a significant surplus again. Why? We've obviously got a home World Cup. I think England come again. We had an England tour at the back of 2023. So there are certain tours, mainly England, in the back end of 2024 and the World Cup, that will again bring financial remuneration and a financial surplus to Cricket West Indies' operating budget. That should allow Cricket West Indies to continue what they're doing on the field in terms of funding a men's senior team, men's A-team tours, the West Indies Academy tours. Remember, West Indies Academy boys are going to Ireland in May. The Girls Academy has just been set up. They're going to be going on tours. The West Indies Women's A side, the West Indies Women's Senior side, and then all of the domestic cricket competitions, Super 50, Red Bull Championship, and what is scheduled to start next year, a Caribbean T20 tournament underneath CPL. So they have generated the surplus to be able to put it back into the development of the game within the region. However, they did issue a word of caution, which is that 2025 and 2026 are due to be down bad years for Cricket West Indies because there's no tour by India, there's no tour by England. And remember, when West Indies go away, we don't make any money off those tours, only the home side takes the revenue. So 2025 and 2026 are due to be down bad years. But the argument is that they should and are projected to have made enough surplus to then get through the funding needed for those 2 years. But the fact that Cricket West Indies can say and would admit that, boy, 2025 and 2026, due to look sticky, because India and England won't be touring the Caribbean, for all those naysayers who say, oh, no, but West Indies should just find their own ways to make money, the fact that we still rely on India and England for a financial surplus in any given year, tells you that the cricket funding model is absolutely messed up and that the future survival of cricket at the international level for sides not called India, England and Australia will continue to be precarious all the while the system is skewed to needing those big nations to turn up in your backyard. Listen, I've given you a bit of a synopsis. I wanted it to be quick. 23 minutes is quick for me. get at me in the comments below, because it's quite a serious topic, this one. And it's quite important that people outside of the region fully understand the kind of minutiae of the key developments that go on within the region, and stop resorting to lazy takes based on what happened in the 80s and the 90s and so on and so forth. So get at me in the comments below. Like the video, obviously. Share the video. Subscribe to the Caribbean Cricket Podcast. If you'd like to support the Caribbean Cricket Podcast, head to www.patreon.com/CaribCricket. Any little from £1, $1, £1, £1, €1, whatever your currency is, helps keep us on the airways, you know? I've been Mashal St. Patrick Hewitt, one half the Caribbean Cricket Podcast. Thank you. Good night.
Network.
What if I told you that you can support your blood pressure and healthy CoQ10 levels with two chews a day? The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. That's like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 supports your cardiovascular health. Visit RadioBeats.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles and save 15% with the promo code DEAL.